live according to the formula which the Torah presents to you. I mean, there's no shortcut here. There's no method that's very that you feel comfortable with, because it's chachma. Chachma is always counterintuitive because it goes against the emotions of man. Emotions go either way, but the chachma dictates that this is the essence, and nevertheless, there's something else that's indispensable. You can't just push it away. But nevertheless, it's not the essence. Just because it's indispensable doesn't mean it's the essence. Two different concepts. Two, can you do without either one? No. Are they both the same? No. Each one is different, but in terms of existence, they're both necessary. But it doesn't mean in terms of value, they're both identical. In terms of value, the essence is Chachmas Vadas, Chachmas Hashem Vadas. That's the essence. But nevertheless, the Otsar is indispensable. That's basically what the Navi is saying. There are many paths that the instinctual energies can take. I can't say how the person will fail, but he will fail, one way or another. Everybody's instincts and emotions are different. They'll find some way it's gonna break through. Which way depends on the person's psyche. That's the Rambam. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs. Liras Hashem is Yiras Onesh. Yiras Onesh is I use conscience because people, you know, that's what people would associate with. Okay, but really what I'm showing you is that Shlomo HaMelech had a deeper understanding of human nature. And he didn't consider conscience an isolated phenomenon. It's a component. It's the same component as human ambition. Because the whole Sefer is human ambition. And the conclusion is also a kinyarah. There's a yiras onesh. Sounds like conscience. Sounds like it's flipping from one component of man to another. That's what I'm telling you. It's not. It's the same thing. Shlomo HaMelech is speaking on a very deep psychological plane, and he's showing you it's not an isolated thing, and the Umos HaOlam have made a serious mistake by trying to identify it as a separate component and even as a religious component. That's a complete error, and the Shlomo HaMelech identified it as the same part of man that strives for ambition. It's the flip side of ambition. Okay. That's a good question. Yiras Hashem, the term Yiras Hashem has two meanings. That Yiras Hashem on one level is Yiras HaOnesh. Okay, and that's what Elokim Yirov is Mitzvos HaShmor. You see, that really means that the energies of that component have to be directed towards that. And Yiras HaShem Hi Otzar is the same thing. But when the Rambam mentions Yiras Hashem in the Yad as simply the other side of the coin of Avo, it's like it's simultaneous with Avo. That's a different Yiras Hashem.
I don't understand that, because you're...
I'm just saying that same element in man is used for Yiras Hashem. It's the same element. I'm not saying that. I'm not endorsing conscience. That's what Chazal was saying. I mean, that's what the Rambam is saying. That you cannot be. And even though the Rambam changes his mind in the Yad, it would appear that Yiras Hashem, he says, is not Yiras Onesh. It doesn't mean that there's no, that did away with Yiras Onesh. And that's what the Rambam said, what I quoted last week in the Pirush Mishnayos on Pirkei Avos. That even though you're engaged in Avas Hashem, still in all, he says, Lishma, still in all, you should Yehei Mar Shemayim Alechem. You can't neglect that part of your nature that must make recourse to Yiras Onesh. You can't abandon that part of your nature that has to make recourse to Yiras Onesh. And it's true. When a person is engaged in Yiras Onesh, he cannot simultaneously be engaged in Avas Hashem. But if a person will say that he wants to do away with that element of his nature and will simply have no Yiras Onesh, he's not going to be successful.
You're saying don't follow...
What it's saying is that a person has to make recourse to Yiras HaOnesh because he will not every moment, that's what it says. I mean, even though you engage in Ava, it doesn't mean you can abandon Yiras HaOnesh because you can't be engaged in Ava at every moment. And a person has to use every mental mental tool to keep him in line for the activity, for the highest activity. I mean, the example was the way we when we we explained with Yosef HaTzadik. How did Yosef HaTzadik overcome his Yetzer Hara? How did he overcome his Yetzer Hara? By the Choshen Mishpat. So it means to say that he recognized that he's very great in her eyes, and that's a big component of his whole involvement with her and his desire for her. But I said, but that is going to lose the real greatness that's being a Choshen Mishpat. That's Shelo Lishma, of course. But the point is, a human being will not always find himself in the state of being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, a person is only a person. A person lives through different experiences in his life, and he has to, and therefore he must make recourse to other methods of staying in line, even though those are not the essence. You see, that's where we differ from Lahavdil, from other religions. Because other religions, they make that the whole essence, because their whole religion is just an expression of conscience. They took conscience and they thought that the salvation is to go with that. But no, that's not true. That's why no other religion has a mitzvah. Its essential mitzvah is chachma, Talmud Torah. That's Talmud Torah and Kolom. So just to do nothing and be a good conscientious person is in Yahadis a wasted life, an absolutely wasted existence, because he did nothing. I mean, just like that'll be like a person, even if he would have the correct ideas, which I don't think he would have anyways. But even if he would have, he would still just be gathering the salty earth. I mean, that's it, without any tefillah. And so the point that Chazal are making is that a person can't overestimate himself and think that he's a seichel nifrad. I mean, he's going to abandon the yira. Can't do it. He can't do it. That's what they're saying. But okay, let me make one point clear. It's brought my attention. I don't make things too clear of it. But the thing is, in other words, that what we're saying is that Yiras Ha'onesh, you see, when you have a component of the mind, so a component of the mind has a certain energy that it uses. Now, when a person is engaged in Yiras Ha'onesh, and that phenomenon, he wants to do it very, he's afraid of Onesh, that is the same psychological energy as when he's engaged in ambition, because it's from the same faculty. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. In other words,
why doesn't work?
So what?
Why doesn't work?
By that's why by itself it won't work, because by itself it's just a seesaw. You're right. But with chachma it'll work. You see, with chachma it'll work. That's the point. That, in other words, with chachma Hashem it'll work. If it's under chachma Hashem, and that's why, by the way, that's why every mitzvah. Why is every mitzvah so detailed and so? What is the Because every mitzvah is chachma. In other words, the way we spoke about restraint, but the method of restraint is not simply restraint. It's restraint through activities, actions, which are constructed with the greatest chachma. So it doesn't only restrain, it engages the mind as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? It engages the mind as well. It's not just a restraint. It functions in engaging the mind so that the individual is never simply engaged in an act of conscience without chachma, you see. That's a very important point. That's a very significant point. But the point that I wanted to make before was that yiras ha'onesh and ambition are both from Kehelis. You see clearly from Kehelis that they both come from the same component of the mind. And that's why it's very much in place. That's why that last pasuk makes sense. Because the Torah and vision was that King Yirah. But it means it's the same faculty. It's just the flip side of the faculty. It's not a separate phenomenon. If it were a separate phenomenon, then it wouldn't make any sense. That was my point. Okay. I have to make a correction. I have to make a correction here. It was brought to my attention actually Yeshayahu, the Sefer Yeshayahu was not written before Kehelis. Okay, because Gemara says in Bava Basra that Chizkiyah v'siyata kosvi Yeshayah mishle shirashir v'kehelis. So Rashi explains Shehorgoy Menashe v'lo kosav sifro. So he didn't write it first. Shelohoyo anavim kosvim sifreim el lefnei mosan. So that's why it actually was in the same time. Okay. Okay, I stand corrected.
Bava Basra test v'lo v'mon aleph.
By Yiras Hashem, we mean Yiras Onesh. And that's Yiras Hashem Hiyotzaro, means that's the platform from which the individual can go into the world of Avas Hashem. But without that platform, he can't do it. Okay, and that's really the whole concept of Yehadis and Mitzvahs, and the combination of Mitzvahs, and metaphysics. Okay. Now, I just want to clarify one thing. What exactly we mean by Yiras HaOnesh? Okay, by Yiras HaOnesh. Okay, and I think we may have done this, but, you know, at the risk of being repetitive, we'll just go over it once more briefly, okay? Yes, go ahead. Oh, okay, on a slight puzzle of that. Yeah. Right, that's right. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says in Perek Asir of Shiva, Al Yom Adam Harini Yosu Mitzvah Tav Osek B'Chachmas Kedei Shakabu Kol HaBrachas Aksuvas Bo Kedei Sheeskel HaChayelam HaBo The Efrash Min HaVeiro Shezira Torah Mehen Kedei Shein Notzel Min HaKlovas Aksuvas BaTorah O Kedei Shelo Ikoris Mechai Yolam HaBo Ein Roy Lavedas Hashem Al HaDerech HaZeh Yeah. She'ovel Derech Zehu Ovid Meiro Vein Amailas HaNavim V'lo Amailas HaChachonim Vein ovdim Hashem al derech ze el ame horetz vanoshim vaktanim shemachan chanason lavod miyiro achetir ba daiton viyavdu meyava. Okay? So the Ram makes it quite clear that this method is an inferior method, and it's only, we only permit it temporarily. We only permit it temporarily until the individual raises themselves, or we raise the individual, and the individual raises themselves to a higher level, a higher plane of existence. But that plane of existence itself is unworthy. Okay, is unworthy. He says, "Ein roi lavad es Hashem al derech zeh she oved al derech zehu oved miyura ve'eino ma'ilas hanaviim v'lo ma'ilas hachachamim." Okay. So there's two levels of human existence. One is chacham, where the individual lives in the world that his mind makes available to him through chachma, and then there's the level of a navi who has additional metaphysical information. He lives in a different realm of existence. But either one, the Rambam says, this yira is not is neither. Okay. Yeah, but of course that's a question that seems to contradict directly what we said. Yiras Hashem pasuk, okay? V'hoya munas itecha chosen yeshuos chachmas v'das yiras Hashem yotzaro. That's everything against everything we said, and the pasuk says that what Chazal say that even if a person did the highest activities. But Yiras Hashem Yotzaro in Ve'ilolo. So it means you can't make it. It's not possible to make it without the platform of Yiras Hashem, which means the Rambam calls it in the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs calls it the Yiras Onesh. Yiras Onesh. So if that's the case, this seems to be an open contradiction. I mean, if Yiras Onesh, which is Yiras Hashem Hiyotzaro, the Ram says that counts that as one of the mitzvahs. Yiras Onesh, he calls it. So if it's Yiras Onesh, I mean, so then so how could it be that he says this is Ein Roy Lavad Hashem Al Derech Hazeh? That's the contradiction, right? Yeah. Aval Nira B'Yiras Onesho B'Choleis Mitzvah Dalet. Okay. V'Zeh Omer Asad Hashem L'Kachatira. Okay, so that would seem to be a contradiction. All right, what is the answer? What is the answer? You see, the answer I think is you have a steer in the answer to this question also explains a pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, the well known pasuk in Tehillim, which is Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. So over there it seems to be saying, again, the contrary, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Seichel Tov L'Chol Oseim. He also met us a lot. So there, that seems to be saying, on the contrary, this is the beginning of Chachma. So you have a very big difficulty with this Yiras Hashem. On the one hand, the Yiras Onesh seems to be something which the Rambam says is not worthy of a human being. I mean, on the other hand, he says the pasuk says it's indispensable. And then again, you have the Navi says it's reishis chachma. I mean, and it seems to be we're filled with contradictions when it comes to this subject. Yeah, but I think the answer is another Rambam. The answer is the Rambam in another Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, okay, which really gives you what the definition of Yiras. With this Rambam, you can understand what it means, Yiras Onus. So the Rambam's like this. The Rambam in Perek Chi, Me'acha shenoda Hashem matan schoren shal mitzvos v'atova sheniska lo em shemanu derech Hashem akosu bohi chai olam abo shenem olaman yid lach v'rachti yon v'anakomo shenog men rishayim sh'ozvu orchas ha-tzedek k'suv ato hi ha-kareis maza shekosu b'chol ha-tar kula in tishmu yagi lachem kach v'im lo sishmu yikres chem kach v'chol osnat v'om b'olam hazeh gansova v'ro v'mochamu v'sholom. So the Rambam gives his answer. And the Rambam says that all these things are not really bad in themselves, because they only relate to the part of man that's animal. But the real good is the good that relates to the part of man that is man, that's truly man. And conversely, the evil is the part that affects that part of man. So you see, so now you have a dilemma. Why? Because let's say a person is not on the level that he really knows what the good is, you see. So how can he begin? See, how can he get started? Because what he thinks is good is not good, and what he thinks is bad is not bad. So how does he relate to truth? I mean, he's caught in a dilemma that it's inescapable. Because you're going to tell him what's going to motivate him. He doesn't really know what the good is, right? So if he thinks it's the physical things, like the Torah says openly, literally, and he doesn't go any further, so then he's living in a world that's false. So what is the Eitzah for such a person? In other words, the simple question, how does a person get started? He doesn't know what the real good is. And he knows the only, to him, things that are, what he thinks is bad is not bad, what he thinks is good is not good. So how does he get started, you see? So the answer is as follows. There is a logical answer to it. The logical answer is that he looks at it not in a particular way, but in a universal way. Okay? In other words, that the person, everyone is after a better state of existence. Correct? So a person might not know what the particulars are to give him that state, but he certainly could know, he has an idea of what a better state of existence is, in general. Okay? A state of existence which is appropriate for man, which makes man happy, which gives man, he may not know the formula. You see, he doesn't know the formula. But he can have an idea of such a concept. You see? So the person who is ignorant, who doesn't know in the beginning, he does not know really what the particular good is or what the particular bad is, can still relate to a universal concept. In other words, if you'd say to a person, you'd say, look, would you like to be living in a way that's, do you think your life would be improved if you were living in a way that's harmonious with your nature? Every person will say yes. Do you know what that state is? I don't know. But the universal, the person can identify and can relate to the universal concept, you see? Or if you tell a person, you say that you realize that your makeup has a certain defined profile. There's a certain profile to your makeup, and when you go against that makeup, you're going to have to be harming yourself. So yes, doesn't necessarily mean that the person knows what exactly that particular is, but the universal concept, the idea, he can relate to. Okay, person may not know what constitutes good health, but he has an idea of what good health is, you see. So really, the answer for the person that is seeking the truth and seeking true happiness for man before he has it is contingent on his ability to relate to the universal and to negate the particulars. In other words, he has to be ready to say that I agree that which I think is good, I have no basis for it. There is no basis for it. And that which I think is bad, no basis for that either. And I'm ready to accept that there is a universal good, a real good, which is in line and in harmony with man's true makeup, even though I don't understand it, and I'm willing to pursue and to find out what that is in order that I can live according to that reality, and be in that state of existence. Okay, do you follow? Follow me? So, therefore, the individual could be motivated by the universal. Okay? The other way, of course, is if the individual maintains his particulars, he hangs on to his particulars, and he thinks that he's going to get an onesh if he goes against the Torah, he's going to get an onesh in terms of his particulars, what he considers bad, and if he follows the Torah, he's going to get a blessing in terms of the particulars that he thinks is good, you see? Those are the only two ways that an individual can have a starting point. See? A starting point can only be where a person has to be motivated, otherwise they can't move. Without motivation, you can't move. So a person has to be motivated to move towards the good. Now, at the time that you're trying to motivate him, he doesn't have the good. Because if he had the good, he wouldn't need motivation. So we're talking about the initial starting point. So how does a person get started? The answer is there are two possibilities. One possibility is he holds on to his world of particulars. But he says, the Torah is going to give me my world of particulars. Or the Torah will save me from the particulars that I think are terrible. You follow? That's one way. Another way is for the person to abandon his world of particulars and say, you know something? I thought this was good. I see I haven't got a shred of evidence to prove that these particulars are really good. There's no evidence whatsoever. So I abandon my predilections, my own tendentious conclusions, and I say I'm ready to pursue that which is really harmonious, a life which is harmonious in line with man's nature. Okay, and the Torah is the source that will give me the answer and the formula for that life. You see? Those are the only two approaches possible. That really answers the Rambam. See, because you notice the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that Ein roi lavod as Hashem al derech hazeh. Sheove vein of them al Hashem al derech hazeh ela amei oretz vanoshim vaktanim shemachanchem osam lavod meyira. Achetir b'daitem v'yavdu me'ava. He says, oh, it's limited to people, certain types of people that are rooted in nonsense. They're rooted. You can't extricate them. So then we use this method, this temporary method. We let them keep their world of particulars, and we tell them that their world of particulars are not going to be in line if they don't follow the way to talk. But there is a higher level for a person that started. And that is for the person to abandon the world of his own world of particulars and recognize that he has no basis for all these things. You see? So that is belief, that this is purely a belief system. Okay. So he has to abandon his belief in his particulars. So he has to abandon his belief in the world of particulars. And he has to be ready to accept that there is a world, there is a reality which is based on a universal, you see. That's the true Yiras Hashem. See, that's the true Yiras Hashem. That's Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. And that's the beginning of Chachma. Why is that the beginning of Chachma? Because the beginning of Chachma is for the person to recognize that there's a universal behind the particulars. The particulars is not the reality, but the reality is a universal. So if an individual abandons the world of his world of particulars, what he thinks, which he's attached to as the good, for instance, the whole like the Rambam says before Hilchos Teshuva, he says that the average person thinks, he says that what is the good? So it means to say that the average person, even though there isn't a shred of evidence that he will be better off if he will acquire all those things which society tells him are good, there isn't a shred of evidence that he'll be happier if he's successful, if he finds what people call success, but nevertheless the person is attached to it. So a chacham, reishis chachma yiras Hashem, means when an individual is ready to say, you know, there isn't a shred of evidence in the world that leads to the conclusion that these things that society maintains are the good, or that makes a person happy. On the contrary, all evidence seems to be that in spite of the fact that people attain these things, they still live miserable existences. So he abandons that, and he says that, but I'm ready to look for a life that's in line, truly in line with man's nature, which will afford a person true happiness. That's chokhmah. That's reishis chokhmah yiras Hashem. At that stage, he's not really at the stage where he knows what the good is and is engaged actively in the pursuit, in the metaphysical pursuits. He's not on that stage, but it's reishis chokhmah. That is the beginning of chokhmah. A person to be able to do that. You see, to abandon the world, his false world of particulars. That's why the pasuk says, "Reishis chachma yiras Hashem." The pasuk says, "Seichel tov l'chol oseihem." What does it mean, "Seichel tov l'chol oseihem"? Oseihem means, you see, if you look at the pasuk before, the pasukim before, you see, it's in Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph. So this parak. Okay, this reishis chokhmah yiras Hashem. Yeah. So I say, what does it mean? What does it mean? Seichel tov l'chol oseihem. I mean, what is the pasuk? Reishis chokhmah yiras Hashem. Seichel tov l'chol oseihem. So the Ibn Ezra says, l'chol oseihem means. Seichel tov yesh l'chol osei pekudov. Okay, v'chol echad meha osim tilaso medes lod. Okay, so it means like this. It means what the Ibn Ezra is saying is like this, that seichel tov l'chol osei means l'osei pekudov, which is in line with what we explained the Yiras Hashem. It means the mitzvahs. So the whole perek really is an introduction, because the perek is showing you why a person should abandon what he thinks, what he thinks is the good, the world of particulars. And it's Zecher Asal Niflosov Chan of Rahman Hashem. What does it mean, Zecher Asal Niflosov? So Rashi says he was Kaveya Moadim Yisrael Shabbosos Moadim, to be a reflection and a reminder on his maisim, on the every moed stands for maisei Hashem, Mitzrayim and Sukkos and Matan Torah, and Shabbosos is Bria Shemayim Varetz. So Chan of Rachamat Hashem, to show that Chan of Rachamat Hashem Teref Nosan Li Yirei of Yiskol Olam Briso Koach Masav Higid La'amo, same area. Okay. That his laws are eternal. There's nothing. They have the same value that they had at the time of Matan Torah, and nothing, and no new knowledge that man gains contradicts. On the contrary, it endorses the Pekudei Hashem. So smuchim la'ad la'olam, asuyim b'emes v'yasha. Pedus Shalach Lamo Tziva Lolam Briso. All right, so, Kodesh V'dor Shema, Reich Yishchach Meiris HaShem, Sechel Tov V'chol HaSeim, and Tilosso Ametis Lod. It means that the person that finds this way of life, and he's Osei Pikudei HaShem, and he abandons his own world of particulars, and he's willing to accept that there is a true good for man, and it's found in the Torah, that the Torah is the formula, then it's Tilosso Ametis Lod. That's the ultimate conclusion is Tehillah LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shevach Hodah LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's basically the pasuk. Okay. Over there's another pasuk that sounds the same from Shlomo Melech and Mishlei, but it's not. Over there's a different pasuk. Tchilas Chochma Yiras Hashem. Pasuk is, it's a Mishlei test pasuk yud. Tchilas Chochma Yiras Hashem. The Das Kedoshim Bina. That's a totally different idea. You shouldn't think the two pasukim are repetitious. The pasuk that the pasuk is half of Tehillim is there because it's the idea of the true starting point of Yediyas Hashem, in terms of the person, how the person has to emotionally and mentally set himself. You see, this pasuk Tchilas Chochma Yiras Hashem V'Das Kedoshim Bina means something different. See, the Ibn Ezra says over there like this. He says that the Tatam ki tchilas tolados habina hi mitzius Hashem. The Yitochin lefarish das kedoshim hi hasogas mitzius hasecholim hanefrodim voruchnios kulon. Ki yedias mitziusom iker habina. Umimena yala le mitzius hamailo ha'olyona. Okay, Ukumoshim ain't year ain't chokhmo kainim ain't das ain't bina. Okay, so what Ibn Ezra says that's a totally different. That's not the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to how a person has to set himself in his derech hachayim. A person setting himself properly in his derech hachayim, not in the manner that the Rambam frowns upon, but says it's only necessary in certain instances as a temporary measure. But this pasuk over here, Tchilas Chochma Yiras Hashem, is talking about the program of knowledge. See, Tchilo, Reishis means the beginning, the very inception. How does a person get started? Tchilo means what comes first. It's an order. First this, and then the first step leads to the second step. And over there what he's saying is that Tchilas Chochma Yiras Hashem, over there he means that the recognition of God's existence is the beginning of an individual's search for Chochmah, and Bina is Das Kedoshim. Das Kedoshim means when he understands the Malachim, when he understands what it means, what the existence of Malachim means, and what their role is in the creation, and how they work in harmoniously with the rest of the creation. He says, when you understand that, he says, that's Bina. That's Das Kedoshim, he says. That's Das Kedoshim. Okay, understanding the Malachim, the Tzuros and Afrodos. So that's a different pasuk. That's talking about what comes first and what comes second in terms of the program of the learning program itself, you see. Whereas the pasuk of Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem is a completely different thing. It's talking about how a person gets started. Reishis, the very first move, the inception of an individual moving on along the Derech Hamas. Okay, two different things. Okay, so that answers the contradiction. That how could the Rambam say that in Sefer Mitzvahs that Yiras Hashem is a mitzvah, and at the same time say in the yard when he to say that this is something which is only for people that are on a very low level? But the answer is the Yiras Hashem that he's talking about in the mitzvah is Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. That's the Yiras Hashem, which means the individual abandons his attachment to his world of particulars and is ready to accept that there is a harmonious life and existence for man, and the Torah has that formula. That's Yiras Hashem. That's the correct Yiras Hashem. That's Yiras Hashem Yotzara. That's the whole realm of Yiras Hashem, which is the conclusion of Kehelas. And so, Lakim Yeravas Mitzvosa Shemor Kizek Al Adam. So there's two different ideas. Okay, all right. Now the reason why that's called Yira is because, like we explained last week, that there are two elements in man. One element in man is the part that engages in chokhmah, and there he has no concern for himself. The other part of man is the part of man that's concerned about himself. Okay, and that's what we said last week. That element of man that's concerned about himself is not the highest element in man, because you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was like a sechel nifrad, and when a person is engaged in chokhmah, he thinks least of himself. The more a person is engaged in chokhmah, the awesomeness of his perceptions of chokhmah remove him to an outward world that's completely away from himself, and when he reflects on himself, he says, like the Rambam says, he sees that he's just a vafer, he's nothing. And he sees, so on the contrary, he doesn't reflect on himself. But in order to get started, a person has to reflect on himself. So in that world of reflecting upon himself, there is an appropriate way, a proper way, and there's another way which sometimes we have to make recourse to. We have no choice, so we employ it temporarily. That's the person that's Oved Meira, which is an inferior form of worship, and it's not Milas HaChachamim and not Milas HaNaviim. Neither. It's neither. But the mitzvah, you can't have a mitzvah, there can't be a mitzvah Midaraisa, Minatara, to do something that's inferior, that's impossible. But so that Yiras Hashem is the Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, where the person thinks about himself, but in the proper way. And that's the beginning of all chokhmah. That pasuk is extremely important, because what it means is, you see, the pasuk contains another idea hidden in the pasuk, which is that a person cannot be a. There's another side to it, another flip side to it, that a person cannot be a chokhmah unless he can do that. Person can't do that; he can't be a chokhmah. No matter how much knowledge in facts or in logics a person will attain, if he can't make that move, if he can't abandon his attachment to the particulars which his emotions tell him are good and bad, if he can't do that, he could never be a chacham. It's just not possible. So that's really Reishis Chachmah Yiras Hashem. That's the beginning of the whole process of entering the world of chachmah. You have to be able to do that. You have to abandon your, no matter how strong those attachments are, to what your emotions tell you is the good, if you can't withdraw from that, you can have bicha. It's not possible. That's why we don't have philosophers that are just individuals who have a lot of knowledge. Like the Rambam explains many, many times in the Morning Ruchim. A true philosopher is one that has to be able to think freely. And to think freely, a person has to be perfected. And if he's not perfected, he could be a genius, but his genius will never take him into the correct world of ideas. And on the contrary, his mind will just continue to try to search and try to justify his own craziness. He may do it very cleverly and very ingeniously, but he's not in reality. He's not in reality. Okay? That's why for Yahadis, an individual like a Bertrand Russell is not a genuine chacham. It's not a chacham. As long as he can't abandon his attachment to his emotional, what he considers to be emotionally the good, and no matter how intelligent he is, he cannot be a chacham. There's no racious chacham. To do so is an avla, first of all, because you're detracting from their true greatness, and also, I mean, more importantly, it's not true. It's not realistic. We can't, in other words, when you see something in the Avos or in Moshe Rabbeinu or in the Navi that appears to be a common weakness, you cannot follow the tendency to say that was his chait, because we aren't on his level of function, very, 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 very distant from it, and it's tempting to do that, and I know people do that, but that's really connected to the whole Derech HaTorah. So that's why when you have when you see something which you don't know, unless you have a support of a Maimar Chazal or a Drasha from the Pasuk, you can't be critical, and you have to assume. I mean, have you done this Kalavim Lekaf Schus? It's Kal V'Chama Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have to assume that it wasn't a matter of his own weakness, but it was a matter of his own intelligence, that his intelligence led him to that conclusion. But he was wrong. I mean, that's what we spoke about last time. The fact that the Ibn Ezra, that even Moshe Rabbeinu could make a mistake. When he brought his family back to Mitzrayim, that was a mistake. Ebenezer says, don't think that a Navi can't make a mistake. Because Nasser Navi also, he thought it was a good idea for David HaMelech to build the base of Mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's a bad idea. So there's no such thing as the Navi, no matter how great he is, being infallible. But at the same time, there's a difference between human fallibility and human weakness. I mean, fallibility is something which a human being cannot avoid. Weakness is something which a human being can overcome. So whenever you see that you see a Navi did something which was wrong, you have to attribute it to fallibility rather than weakness. Unless you have a drush from Chazal, because we're not in a position to project our own emotions onto these people who are on a completely different level and function in a level completely strange and a different, otherworldly than ours. Okay. Now, Seichel Nifra does not imply infallibility. It just means that the human being has summoned all his energies to the highest activity. But he's only a human being, so he can make mistakes. Doesn't matter. Navi can make mistakes.